Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Well, go ahead and take your seat and let's just share in the Word of God today. We're going to talk about a subject for the next 3 weeks. I think it's going to be fascinating. A part of that subject's up on the top of me. It says keys for success. You know, when you go into the Bible, there's lots of keys for success. There's lots of insights on how to be successful, your home, family, children, everything, business, whatever it is that God wants you to be successful in. So you look at the Word of the Lord, may I say this to you? This is the manual on how to do those things and how to become grateful. So it's more than just a three-part series, but we're going to talk about keys to success in relationship to the Word, relationship. So we have all kinds of relationships, and you know, your future is determined by the relationship that you have. The relationship with God, number one, we'll talk about that today. The relationship with yourself, we're going to talk about that next week. And a relationship you have with others, we're going to talk about that also in the weeks to come, in the next few weeks. All of us need to understand that in order to be successful, you got to have, if you will, the right relationships. And we're going to talk about it from the Scripture. Today, it's very important for all of us to understand that God brought us in here for a reason. We're going to walk out of here today, and God's going to share with you His truth. And it's so simple, but yet so incredibly profound. And you need to know that this is important for all of us. In order for you to be successful is determined by your relationships. My father used to say it like this. My father would say something like, birds of a feather flock together. In other words, who you hang around with is what you'll become. Who you hang around with is what you'll do. Who you hang around with is even what you will start to believe. And your relationships has a lot to do with your future. And has a lot to do with whether or not you're successful. The first one we're going to talk about is a relationship, of course, with God. And that's so vital for every single one of us. Have you ever thought for a moment that you could have a better relationship with God? I know a lot of us in here are saying, well, I already have a relationship with God. And at what level is that relationship? Let's just challenge that just a little bit today. At what level is that relationship? In that relationship that you have with God that you say is okay, could it be a greater relationship that God wants to take you to? Maybe there's the blessings waiting for you. Maybe there's a hand of God, the anointing of God on you. Maybe that decision-making process that you've been looking for, that's the right decision for your future, is on you, but only as your relationship with God is enhanced and grows. For all of us that are in here that say these words, I do have a relationship with God. I have a good relationship with God. My question to you, and it ought to be by the Holy Spirit to you, is whether or not it can be a great relationship with God. I think it can be. I think relationships grow all the time. You know why? Because God's bigger than you see Him as. God's bigger than I see Him as. God sees Him. God is greater than anything we can see Him as. Therefore, there's more of God. God, and we're at one relationship with God based on our insight, our sight, our understanding, and our hearing, but not based on the fullness of who God is. And understanding that brings us to a greater and greater relationship with God, which brings us into blessings, brings us into a great harvest with all of our family. It's called success with the things of the Lord. In order to understand this a little better, I'm going to take you to a familiar verse in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, I want to encourage all of you to start bringing a Bible. You know, I put the verses on the overhead for those that don't have Bibles, but you ought to have a Bible. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. If I'm going to pastor you and you call this your church, you ought never to come into this building without a Bible in your hand. Because you're learning the Word of God. And God has something to say. And if you don't know where to find it in the Bible, you won't be, you know, concentrating on it. You won't be meditating on it. You won't think about it when times of trouble come. What are you going to do? Call me on the phone? You need to know where it is in your own Bible. Make notes in there with the Spirit of the Lord speak to you. You need to get a Bible and you need to go on with God and learn how to understand it. It's very, very simple. As I take you to Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter. Let me take you to verse number 12 and let's read it together. There are four things I want to outline about a relationship with God that's very important for all of us to see today. Here it is. Let's read Deuteronomy Verse number 12 of the 10th chapter. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? Stop right there. Here's God saying, here's what I require of you. I mean, many of us have said over and over again, what do you want from me, God? In fact, we've said it like this, God, whatever it is that you would have, I'll do it. Just tell me where you want me to go. Tell me what you want me to do. What do you have for me, God? What do you want of me? Where do you want me to be? What do you want me to say? God, what do you want me to do? Here, this verse sums it all up, and it seems so simple, but yet it's so profound. And listen to what he says, these words, the Lord your God requires of me, of you, but to fear the Lord. And to walk, notice these words, to walk in all of his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Four things, to fear, to walk, to love, and to serve. And God, if you can just get that into my heart so that I can do those things, I know that I'm going to be in the right place and I know that my life's going to be successful. Four simple things that ought to be a goal in every person's life that's in this building. Four very simple things in order for you to build that relationship with the living God greater than it's ever been. Let's check it out. Developing a relationship with God, and that's what God wants you to do today. He wants you to understand that you have a relationship with him, but he wants a greater relationship with you. Why? So that he can take you to where he needs to take you. Why? So that he can bring you into the blessings that he wants to give you. Why? Because God cares about you. Are you understanding? So let's develop this relationship with God, and let's check it out by looking at this verse, if you will, the 10th chapter, verse number 12 of Deuteronomy. First thing is to fear. Remember the word to fear? First thing God says is to fear. A lot of times we don't understand the depth of that word fear. You know, we all fear God to a certain degree. But could there be a greater degree waiting for all of us? Could God want to do a greater measure of fear on the inside of every one of us? Where is your fear level? The word fear is an interesting word. It means respect. It means to honor. It means to appreciate. It means to know. The word fear is a wonderful word, but there's also a side of fear that is called just fearing God. In fact, let me explain it to you like this. There's a depth of fear that we in the American churches don't really understand, and if we don't, we'll never truly fear God. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. We hear about the love of God, don't we, all the time? We hear about how God loves us and how he died for us, how he went to the cross for us. We hear about how God did great, mighty things for us and how God loves us. Even in the midst of our sin, even in our biggest screw up, God never stopped loving us. And all of that's true. We hear about that all the time. But have you ever thought that there's a side of God that we're not so familiar with? And that is called the terror of the Lord. Paul writes these words, and it's an interesting thing that he writes. Listen to this. He says, I am constrained by the love of God. In other words, I am pushed back into a position by the love of God. But then he comes along and he says this later on. He says, but I know the terror of the Lord. And sometimes we know about the love of God, we respect God, we honor God on this level, but we're not afraid of God. I want you to know something. Until you get to the place where you are respecting and honoring and loving God, and also he is not a God to mess with. And sometimes if we don't know that, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. There's a terror of God. You do not want to screw around with. There is a God, you better not push him. You better not try him. You better not treat him as common. What you treat as common will become common to you. And even though we say we respect God, even though we say we honor the Lord. But I want you to know something. There is a fear of God that brings in a terror of the Lord that keeps us doing from doing the wrong things. If you treat God as common and He is common in your life, do you know that you'll keep on sinning? You'll keep on screwing around? You'll never change? You know why? Because you're not afraid of Him. You just keep getting by and keep getting by and keep getting by. And I want you to know that's wrong. God's looking for us to understand that He loves us, but He also has a side to Him you better not mess with. And that is the terror of the Lord. And I want you to know, when you treat God as common, you will never make the changes. I'm afraid of Deborah, but I'm more afraid of God. I'm not going to cheat on Deborah because I know what Deborah would do, but I want you to know something. I'm not cheating on God because I know what God would do also. Are you understanding? And there's a side that we don't really have and we don't quite understand. In fact, the Bible makes it very clear that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. In other words, when something's wrong in your life, when something's out of sync in your life, when something's not right and sin is operating and taking you over and keeping you in bondage to things in your life, you better fear God so much to do something about the sin. Not just to drop on your knees and ask God to forgive you, but ask God to cleanse you, clean you up, show you how to get rid of it. Why? Because you're in fear of who God is. Somebody needs to listen to what I'm saying. And what we do is we keep treating God as common. We keep treating God without fear. We keep saying we're in fear of God, but we're really not in fear of God because we know His love more than we know His terror. And in American church, we not only need to know His love, but we also need to know He is not one to mess with and understand that He is a God of terror and you do not want to mess with Him at all. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. I love this word. In Ecclesiastes, if you'll go there with me, in the 12th chapter, in verse number 13, it sounds so simple, but let's take a look at it together. We're talking about the fear of God. If we're going to have a relationship with God, we're going to develop that relationship with God. And number one, he says it's got to start with fear. That's honor, respect, but also afraid to mess around with Him because He's not one to mess with. In Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, verse number 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Wouldn't you love it if God just pointed out, here's what it's all about. Here's the bottom line. How about this one? This is where the rubber meets the road. Here's where it's all about. Let me just read it to you. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. You say, well, that's simple. But I want you to know something. You'll never keep His commandments until you fear God. Until you fear God, you'll never want to do what He says. You'll do what you say. You must fear God more than you fear yourself. You must fear God more than you fear other people. You must fear God more than you fear this society. You must fear God more than the economic conditions that you live in. And when you fear God more, then you can keep His commandments. It sounds so simple. Fear God and keep His commandments. How simple is that? But then you'll never keep His commandments until you have a proper understanding of the fear of God. May I say it like this? This year, you fear God. Next year, you ought to fear God more. And I'm not just talking about trembling. I'm talking about loving Him. I'm talking about respect for Him. I'm talking about honoring Him. He becomes a bigger place in my heart, a bigger place in my life. That's what fear is all about. And guess what? This year, I fear God a lot. But next year, I'm going to grow in my fear. You know why? Because God's a greater God than I can imagine. He's a greater God than I think He can do. He's bigger than I know Him to be. He's bigger than I know He is able to do. He can do a whole lot more than what I can possibly think. Therefore, my fear level, let me say it again. I want you to hear me. My fear level, one more time. My fear level has got to grow. Someone says, well, how does my fear level grow? You're going to have to get into a place where you learn who he is. You're going to have to get into a place to start seeing how big he is. You're going to have to get into a place where you absolutely feel and know and understand about your God who saved you and what he's done for you so that you can fear him in every area. You'll never learn to fear the Lord on your couch. You'll never learn to fear the Lord while you're floating along the Colorado River drinking a beer. You'll never learn to fear God while you allow sex and perversion and drugs and alcohol and pornography in your home. You will never fear God because the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Is anybody listening to me? And all of us are called by God to do what? To grow in the area of fear. The second thing he says back at Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, verse number 12, if you'll remember, is that we are to walk in all of his ways. To walk in all of his ways. In order for me to develop a relationship with God, I'm going to have to walk in his ways. Not my ways. Not your ways. Not the ways of the world. Not the ways of my boss. Not the ways of society. Not the way of the social system. Not the ways of my mom or my dad or the economics of this world. I'm going to have to walk in the ways of God. And may I say this to everybody that's in here? You walk in someone's way. The word walk means this, to live out life. And you're living out life some way. Who are you living out life by? By what your mom and dad said? By what the school teachers taught you? But what our social system is like? To live out life, you're going to have to live out life the way God lived out life. That's what he's talking about. To walk in his ways. To do what he wants, not what I think. To do his way, his will, his desire, not what I desire, not what I will. It's not about me, it's about him. And when I make him first instead of me first, guess what happens? Now I get blessed and I've developed that proper relationship with God that brings me to a place of great success. I am to live out life God's way. Now, a lot of times people say, well, I want to live out life and I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to be like my uncle or my cousin and I want to be successful and I want to do, God doesn't mind you doing all those things. But when those things control you and take the place of God, you have now made a mistake. And all of us need to live out life according to what God says. We say we're Christians, but we live our own life our own way. And that's wrong. And God knows it. In fact, check it out with me in 1 John, if you will. In 1 John, the second chapter, verse number 6 says these words. Listen closely. In 1 John, the second chapter, verse number 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. And the Bible tells us in John, it says these words too. As he is in this world, so are you. And here he comes along, he says, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, you ought to live out your life like a Christian. Now you'll try and you'll fail. You'll try and you'll make mistakes. You'll try and you'll screw up. There's no doubt about it. Until you learn how to do what God has you to do, listen to this, by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of you. If you don't know how to do what God has you to do by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you, you'll do what you do by the power of man that lives on the inside of you instead of the power of the Holy Spirit. So God tells you to do something. He doesn't say, well, I told them to do it. They can't do it. If he tells you to do something, you can do it. The problem with it is we don't tap into the power of God to help us to do it. And so when God makes this statement, he says, you ought yourself to walk just as he walked. I can do that. But I can't do it in myself. I got to do it with the power of the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of me that helps me to live out life as God would help me to live out life. I only do the best job I can, but I got to go a little further and I need the power of the Holy Spirit to help me go further to live out life that God would have me to live. Is anybody listening? So God makes this statement. He comes along and he says, if you're going to have a relationship with me, number one, you're going to have to fear God. And that fear level that you have right now is not the fear level that you need to have in the future. We all need to work on that, including Pastor Jim and Pastor Deborah. But it also comes along, he says, and then if you're going to have a relationship with me, you're going to have to make a determination. You're going to have to come to a conclusion. You're going to have to make a decisive decision in order to walk out life according to what God would have us to walk out life like. Because without it, we're not going to make it. Now we're talking about a wonderful subject, developing a relationship with God. Here's number three. If you'll go back with me to Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, verse number 12, here's number three. Notice what it says is to love. If you're going to love God, you're going to have to love God in His terms and in His ways. There isn't any doubt that if I asked you, do you love God? We'd all say yes. But did you know that the love that you have can grow all the time? And the love you have today is not necessarily the love that needs to be expressed towards God. It could be a very shallow level of God's love. We're in a very shallow love relationship with God. And God is asking us to love God. But did you know that loving God means a lot of things that we may not understand? For an example, to love God means to trust God. To love God is to be confident in God. To love God is to respect God, to honor God, to appreciate God, and be obedient to God. In fact, Jesus makes this statement, doesn't he? He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. In other words, it's not just lip service. It's not just a good fluffy feeling inside of your heart that you love God. Along with that good feeling comes an action. And the action is that we're to be obedient and we're to trust and we're to have confidence in God. In other words, here's what I'm saying. If you love God, but you don't trust God, then you don't love God, and neither do I, on the level that He's expecting us to love Him. Let me say it again. If you love God and don't trust God, then you're not loving God on the level that we ought to be loving God. If you love God, but you're not obedient to God, then you're not on the love level that we need to be with God. In fact, without any further understanding, let's just check it out for ourselves in 1 John 5:3. You don't have to go there, but let me read it to you. It says this, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. In other words, He says, don't just feel good about me. Don't just feel warm and fluffy about me. Do something about it. If we love God, we're going to trust God. If we're not trusting God, then we're not loving God like we should be loving God. Does anybody get that? It's so important for us to see. In fact, there's a really interesting verse I found in the scripture that I was reading last week of David. King David is as a young man is running from King Saul. Saul's trying to kill him. Year after year after year, and he's running for his life, and the enemies of Israel are trying to get him and trying to kill him, and God keeps delivering David all the time. There comes a time in David's life where the goodness of God catches up to David. And I'm here to tell you, the goodness of God wants to catch up with you. But there's a timing involved in all of that. But listen to what happens. All of a sudden, he's delivered from Saul. All of a sudden, he's delivered from his enemies. And he writes this psalm. And it's Psalm 18. If you want to go there with me, I'll read it to you. First three verses, all I want to concentrate on. Verse number one of the 18th chapter of Psalm says this. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I love you, O Lord. Now watch this. Then he defines why he loves God. He says these words, my strength. In other words, you are me. You are what makes it all work. The love, he says, the Lord, verse number two, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will what? Trust. My shield and my horn and my salvation, my stronghold. In other words, God, you're my all and my all. You're my everything. I trust you and I honor you. I respect you and I'm obedient to you. He says, and I will call upon the Lord, verse number three, who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies. Well, all of us that are in here today, If we're going to love God and say that we love God, then we've got to learn how to trust Him. We have to learn how to be obedient. We have to learn how to honor Him. We have to learn how to respect Him. And God has taken this simple little word out of Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, and four little words. First one being fear God. We can change that and we can grow in the area of the fear of God. And the second little word that comes, we need to walk or live out life according to the ways of the Lord. And the third one comes along and says, here, love God, but love Him so much that you love Him to trust Him and be obedient for Him. And then brings us to the fourth one in Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, verse number 12. If you're going to do all of those things, you're going to have to serve God. There's no way you can say you love God and do nothing. There's no way you can fear God to the depth that He wants to be feared and respected and reverenced. There's no way you can come along and live out life or walk according to the ways of God without getting out there and doing something for God. And I'm not talking about you becoming a preacher. I'm not talking about you becoming an usher. I'm not talking about you working in the children's ministry. I'm not talking about you working in a parking lot. I'm talking about you on the job with your neighbors, with your relatives, with your friends, that you get in there and you're a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ because you're serving God. And God has called you, not just me, all of us to be full-time ministers wherever we're at, on the job, in the neighborhood, with our family, and with our relatives, that we serve God. A lot of times people don't understand about the service of the Lord. Man came up to me, he was a supervisor of a large denomination in this area during the pastor's conference. He had heard about our outreach ministries to all the poor and the needy and the prisons and all the different areas. And he came up to me and he says, Pastor, I hear about your outreaches. He says, but you have a heart for the poor. How did you develop the love for the poor? And I said, I didn't. And I don't love the poor. I love God. And God loves the poor. What I'm saying as simply is this, that if you are waiting to love somebody, if you're waiting to see the best in somebody before you serve, if you're waiting to get results back from them, you're missing it. You do what you do in service because you're in love with God, you fear God, and you're walking in His ways. And by the way, it wasn't too much after that I fell in love with the poor. And that I'm grateful. But first, you know, we want the feelings first. We want the desire first. We want to be a people that say, oh yes, I feel God wants me to do it. Can I tell you something? Whatever God loves is what I have learned to fall in love with. And I'm here to tell you something. I serve the Lord. I don't serve man. I serve the Lord. And because I love the Lord takes care of the men. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. It's like sitting in front of a fireplace and saying, fireplace, give me the heat. And the fireplace speaks back and says, I'll give you the heat, but you got to put the wood in first. Sometimes you got to serve first before you fall in love with the people that you're serving. That's why God's telling you with your relatives, you know, sometimes we get just fed up with them, don't we? We just get frustrated. We just like to pop them one with the right hand. That's laying hands on our relatives. It has a new meaning to many of us. We'd like to deck some of them, you know? And I want you to know that that's not what God's talking about. When you serve the Lord because God loves those people. And then He'll give you the feelings later. But don't look for the feelings first and follow your feelings. Follow God. Nowhere does it say follow your feelings, but follow God. And when you follow God, God will give you your feelings. In fact, it says this in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse number 7. Pop it up on the overhead. Let's check it out. It says, with goodwill, doing service as to the people. No. As to the poor. No. As to the people who don't appreciate you. No, it doesn't say that. As to the people who don't like you. No, it doesn't say that. He's doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Wow. Puts a whole new understanding on four things we learn to develop a relationship that'll make us to be successful. Number one, with God. Four things to understand today. Number one, you and I have a fear level somewhere. God wants us to have a greater fear level. Number two, God wants us to live out life, walk in all of his ways. I've got to follow somebody. I'm not going to follow myself because I don't know where I'm going. But I'm going to follow somebody. It's not going to be the politicians. It's not going to be the economist. It's not going to be the social society that we live in. Not going to be my relatives. Not going to be the way they did things in the past. I'm making a decision to follow God. I'm going to live out life and live it out God's way. I'm going to learn how to do this, and I'm going to do it. Third thing God says, that you're going to have to love God. You're going to love God by trusting him. Love God by honoring him. Love God by respecting him, and love God by being obedient to him. And listen closely to what I'm going to say to you, because it's so important. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Don't allow compromised life to allow sin in your life. If you love God, and if you respect God, and you fear God, and you say you love him a lot, don't let sin have dominion over your life. Take authority in the name of Jesus. And the fourth thing we'll learn is that you're called by God to serve. Man, you can't love God. You can't fear God. You can't walk in all of his ways without serving. There's something, there's someone, there's something, there's someone that God wants you to talk to and tell about Jesus. Come on, you ought to give the Lord a great big praise. That's such a simple message. And such a good one. Next week, a relationship with yourself. And without understanding that, you'll never be successful. First, a relationship with God. Next week, a relationship with yourself. And the week after that, a relationship with others. God is so good. Come on, give him one more great big praise, the Lord, especially if he spoke to you today.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.